because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Israel says it's hit some 450 Hamas targets in the past day. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says the war is now in its second stage. He's heard here through an interpreter.
Our brave fighters have one goal, to ensure our existence in our land. We always said never again. Never again is now.
Israel's military says the number of troops inside Gaza is rising. The BBC's Yolanda Nell is in Jerusalem.
Israel's military has repeated its demand for Palestinians to move from the northern half of the strip to the south. A spokesman said humanitarian efforts led by Egypt and the U.S. would now be expanding there.
Actor Matthew Perry has died. Officials have not released a possible cause of death, but CBS Los Angeles reports police responded to what they said was a water rescue call at his home. Perry was 54, and CBS's Stacey Lynn has a look at his enduring role in a show that's still seen every day.
No one told you that was gonna be this way.
Matthew Perry rose to fame playing Chandler Bing on Friends.
I'm Chandler. I make jokes when I'm uncomfortable.
On the big screen, Perry starred in movies like The Whole Nine Yards.
Hi, you must be our new neighbor. I'm Nicholas Ozaransky.
But Syracuse University pop culture professor Robert Thompson says it was his character from Friends he will always be most remembered for.
This was very much a character that he played that is deep in the American culture.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
A former president and current candidate has harsh words for his vice president who dropped out the 2024 race yesterday. CBS's Tom Foti.
Well, former Vice President Mike Pence and his Republican presidential nomination hopes.
It's become clear to me this is not my time.
From his former boss Donald Trump a bit later, also in Las Vegas.
I had a great successful presidency and he was the vice president. He should endorse me. I chose him, made him vice president. But people in politics can be very disloyal. I've never seen anything like it.
Pence appeared to take a shot at Trump when he said the next president should be somebody who leads with civility. A new survey says most Americans are worried about climate change. Here's CBS's Erica Brown.
Nearly three quarters of Americans believe climate change is harming people now. That's according to a survey from the Pew Research Center on how Americans view the impact of a changing climate. The survey also found that 63% say they expect it to get worse in their lifetime.
World Series Game 2 had the Arizona Diamondbacks beating the Texas Rangers 9-1. They'll play Game 3 tomorrow night in Phoenix. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. It's the time of year when temperatures start cooling down, but experts say climate change is making October nights in Wisconsin warmer more often than not. Here's Mike Mohn.
A new analysis from the nonprofit Climate Central says fall evening temperatures in the U.S. have warmed by nearly 2 degrees on average since 1970. And it's even higher in cities like Madison and Milwaukee, which has seen increases of nearly 4 degrees when looking at minimum temps. Climate Central meteorologist Lauren Casey says it doesn't just affect traditional fall activities.
Allergy season has been lengthened by about a month in many locations across the Midwest.
She says that makes it more burdensome for people with more serious respiratory issues like asthma. And the analysis points out that mosquito season is being extended too. Casey says to help mitigate these trends, Midwest residents should do what they can to avoid energy sources that come from fossil fuels. And Casey says adapting to these changes is another important step so that folks aren't caught off guard when the calendar flips to October.
So you can best prepare if you do have asthma, you know, if you are potentially susceptible to mosquito-borne illnesses, all of these things which can impact our everyday lives.
For prolonged allergy seasons, health experts say vulnerable individuals should put some time and research into establishing a medication regimen that works for them. Meanwhile, Casey says the warmer weather results in heavier rain events, which attract more mosquitoes. She suggests that you be more mindful of areas of standing water as the fall drags on. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Beck.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it's time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you live and local from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here in the old NAMI building at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right around the corner from Theodore Yeoman's Park, where we are proud to honor our suffragette heritage here in the Shaw. And good morning, a beautiful morning as the sun has finally made its way out and rippling against the golden colors of the leaves outside. It really is quite a sight. And it's everything's falling into place. Today's guest is, this is his second tour of duty with TWIW or Twidubs. Or they're still thinking of a nickname for This Week in Waukesha, but I don't mind enunciating the whole thing. And buongiorno!
Buongiorno!
Mary Jane Sanchez is back from her trip to Italy and other Prague. Parts in Prague, and she's brought coffee and maybe even some pastries. So welcome back, Mary Jane. But today's guest, he's on his second tour of duty, but his first in his new role as Economic Development Project Manager. Please welcome from the city of Waukesha, Jeff Fortin. Jeff, how are you today?
Good. How's it going?
Good, good. You weren't expecting this extra cup of coffee, were you?
No.
So
this is just water.
Oh, there you go. So your first cup of coffee then.
Yep.
Sounds great. But it's always great having Jeff on because he's one of the great resources, one of the great assets we have here in the city working in this. It's the Community Development Department, right, under Jennifer Andrews?
Yep, that's correct.
So terrific. And what have you been working on lately? I said it's a new title, but it's just name only. It's not a promotion, right?
Yeah, it's really just Economic Development Project Manager to reflect the stuff I'm working on, downtown redevelopment projects, tax incremental financing.
Okay. Sure.
And then a lot of housing. We're running quite a few housing programs now.
Sure.
Great deal of time.
Hey, can you talk more into the mic?
Sure.
So you're kind of fading in and out. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but there you go. So, well, neat. That's great. Now, one question I wanted to ask, and that's it's very timely because on Saturday, November 25th, Small Business Saturday, This Week in Waukesha will now start earlier at 7 a.m. and will be a two-hour show because there's really so much to unpack week in and week out here in our university city. So much going on that, you know, 1 hour just does not do it enough justice. So, but so I wanted to ask Jeff, what are we doing lately to support and promote small business here in Waukesha?
The biggest thing we're probably doing now is we've got this new program called the Storefront Activation Loan Program. Mm. And the whole goal is to take downtown and central city storefronts.
Okay.
And have funds available, low interest loans for landlords to fix them up to make them to current standards.
Okay.
So in the past we had facade grants, which we still have.
Right.
And that's funded through community development block grant, but you can only use that for the outside.
The CDBGs, right?
Yep.
Okay. The federal.
And, yeah, you can only use that for the outside.
Mm.
So it doesn't really do anything to attract tenants on the inside. So we've got a lot of old things here that haven't been updated. We also have a challenge of when someone wants to do, when they've done a certain number of additions, they're going to run into an issue where they have to put in sprinklers.
Okay.
And this loan fund allows them to take out a low interest loan to maybe upsize the water lateral, install sprinkler systems, do commercial kitchen upgrades like vent hoods, which are also very expensive. So it's really
nice.
A lot of these high ticket items that maybe,
sure.
And it's tied to the building, so the landlord takes it out. So even if a tenant is in there and doesn't do well, the building's already improved, so it makes it more attractive to other tenants. So you can also use it for anything else, fixing up, you know, updating electrical, redoing the inside, even things like carpeting, flooring, painting, anything that fixes up the inside. And it's been pretty successful. We've got a few really big projects that are taking advantage of it. The most notable is probably the North Pillar Brewing, which is a craft brewery.
Oh, yeah. Where's that going to go?
So it's on North Street.
Okay.
Just kind of south of Barstow and North. It's in the old Weber Brewing, so it's kind of cool.
Oh, so it's an old brewery. Okay.
Yeah, Weber Brewing was there up until, I think, the 50s.
Sure. Okay.
So that one, they're taking advantage of it. We've got a few other smaller ones that are doing it. So so I think it's going to be really good. The Let It Be, the Beatles-themed bar
down
the
street. Is that also a brewery or just a bar?
Just a bar. And also a bar-restaurant.
Has that opened yet?
It has not opened.
Okay.
It'll be really cool in there. I mean,
sure.
I've been through it in various stages, and I think people are just going to be blown away with how nice it is, how much work has been done in there to upgrade that building.
Sure. Yeah, I'm a huge Beatles fan, and so I'm really excited about that. The one issue I have, being of Irish ancestry and Irish dual citizenship, is the British flag on the everyone says, oh yeah, they're from the UK, but Liverpool, as people in the know really know, is the unofficial capital of Ireland. It's like the largest Irish community, I think, in the whole world, and I think all the Beatles are of Irish descent. And would it kill the guy to add an Irish flag? Oh, great! Got some cream here.
Yeah.
So yeah, right next to the Union Jack, there, just kind of balance things out, and you know.
Yeah.
So we'll work on that. But so we have another brewery coming, and I noticed too, if those of you have been following the interactive map about the water coverage, we are now at 100%. Every household, every building has Lake Michigan water now. So that phase of the transition is complete. Any faucet you turn on in the city will be clean, sustainable drinking water from Lake Michigan. Well, do you think that'll attract more breweries?
I think it could. I mean, you look at Milwaukee's brewing history
and
all the new breweries in Milwaukee, West Allis, all these other people that are on Lake Michigan water. So it could be.
Because I mentioned this because a lot of these breweries, they're located in what you would believe are peculiar places instead of being like, you know, in a real downtown location or wherever. You've had Toppling Goliath beer, like Pseudo Sue.
I was just there 2 weeks ago.
In Decorah, Iowa. Mm-hmm. So this real conservative Christian town in northeastern Iowa. There's a Christian college there. And then there's a brewery. And the reason why is because that water source is very clean. It's an excellent source of water. And that many of the fans would explain that explains why that beer is so good. Is that clean source of water. And same thing with Two Brothers down in Illinois, where they're located. There's a section of it, might be the Fox River or the Des Plaines River, that they're right there. And because there's an excellent clean water source.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that the new water may bring, things like that, especially water-dependent things like a brewery. I mean,
sure,
they still probably add their chemical, like they add like minerals and stuff to get the flavor profile they want, but
right.
Might be more consistent for them.
Sounds good, yeah. And so, and we talk about this before the show, so you're not on the spot, but it's on, and I've put it out there for the mayor and for Dan Dukniak and anyone who will listen, is with, now that we have this clean, abundant source of water, can we do anything to spur an aquaculture industry development?
Yeah, I think it's something the city could definitely look at. We've got our fixed borders, but there's a lot of opportunities within those borders. Either
you can grow fish anywhere.
Yeah. You get a lot of redevelopment sites either now or on the horizon.
Sure.
If you look around the city, you can see there's some empty buildings that are kind of underutilized or no longer used for industry. So I think those are some things that the city could look at and entrepreneurs could look at for new ideas for taking advantage of the water resource and also adding into doing some redevelopment, making these buildings active again.
Sounds great. Yeah, I love that. And it's, and I'm a real proponent of it, not only because of the work that I do in responsible seafood, but also in learning about it, that it's a, it can create not only economic development, but job growth. And it can also help address the issues of food insecurity that are very much an issue here in Waukesha, as well as the rest of the Milwaukee area. So, and I'm going to switch gears for a second because just some recent news. On the way down this morning, I did hear that the shooter out of Lewiston, Maine, was found, I guess, dead because of a self-inflicted wound. For those of you just waking up and hearing about this, and so there's a great deal of relief in that, that community that the that part is over in terms of there being, you know, dangerous shooter out there. But still, obviously, the damage has been done, and our hearts go out to those people in that community. And, you know, we had a similar shooting, or we had, well, I shouldn't say similar, but we did have a an incident in Germantown where I think it was just the shooter that was taken out by a police officer. But again, a very frightening situation where a guy comes from out of state, and he goes to get his car fixed, and he's behaving erratically, and he goes across the street to a local middle school, and he tries breaking in while there's still students at the school, even though it's 6 o'clock at night, there's some other activities going on, and somehow manages to climb up on the roof. And, I know our police, they've seen a lot of peculiar things, but now this is becoming, you know, part of the norm. So, but, is there much in the way in community development, is there a role, like how do you guys, you know, what is it that things that you can do to promote safer communities?
I think just building a, you know, here in Waukesha, it's, even though it's a large city of over 70,000 people, just building a strong community. It feels more like a small town here. A lot of people know each other. So I think that kind of helps because people are, you know, once they, you know, if they're really invested in their community, they're going to help take care of other people, keep an eye out for things, be hyper vigilant about that. I think, you know, maybe there's some ideas in design, urban design and things that could be done.
Great segue.
So, yeah, you know, you can, there's a lot of different studies in urban design and how it can help with building safety, eliminating, you know, hiding spaces. But then also, like, you know, you talk about the big planning thing that's been for years is why downtowns are, you know, so good is because you, and this urban design is so good is because you have eyes on the street. There's always people out doing activity. And even downtown, when we have developments, we really want street level activity.
Yeah,
You know, you're looking at, you know, if you want, like even with one of the newer apartments buildings, they didn't want to do a retail space. So we said, we had to have some sort of active thing in there. So we had them put their fitness room in there. Nice. So you get this activity.
Yeah.
There's always people keeping an eye on what's going on. I think that helps.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have something that's closed off and there's no activity at the street level, then you don't really have anybody keeping an eye on the street, and it makes it more susceptible for things to happen.
Sure. Yeah. All great point. And, you know, Jeff and I are both advocates, or shall we even say champions, for new urbanism. And I know Waukesha's done some experiments on that. And, you know, what that involves is more front porch housing, so people know each other. Smaller plots or just narrow, you know, narrow driveways. A central place like a park or garden. And then what they call third place locality. So if home and work are your first two locations, the third is maybe that health club, that church, that favorite coffee house or library. And, anyway, we're about to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about new urbanism with Jeff Fortin of the City of Waukesha, as well as the Carroll Minute. Big game day, the rivalry, the old Musket game against Carthage that Johnny and I will be covering later on today. So don't go away as This Week in Waukesha continues.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back this week in Waukesha. I'm your host, Don Brown, with Jeff Horton from the City of Waukesha, the Community Development Department, and the Economic Development Project Manager. Great. Is it project or program? Project.
Project.
Yeah. Sounds great. And yes, it's time for the Carol Minute, and it's Rivalry Week. And Rivalry, the Pioneers travel to Kenosha to defend the old musket that has been in Coach Buddha's office for the last 2 years after two wins in a row. Carthage actually leads this rivalry 29-16 since it started in like 1961. And so Carroll's looking to gain some ground here in this Coach Buddha era where, we've had back-to-back winning seasons. And the goal this year is to get a seventh win. They were trying to make the Isthmus Bowl, but unfortunately lost to number 13, Wheaton, last week. And, another great program there in the CCIW that's just hard to beat. But, so looking forward to driving down to Carthage Stadium with Johnny. He'll be picking me up after the show. And one thing I learned, too, is the Keller Field is named after, I think his name was Art Keller, and he was Carthage's coach. The longest win streak in college football in the 1960s was owned by Coach Keller and the Firebirds of Carthage. So they have some traditions, and they'd like to kind of fight their way back to those winning ways, just as Carol has in the Buddha era. So we expect a great showdown and a great venue today, and looks like hopefully nice weather now that the sun is out. So, but one little note too in Carol is that Carol men's soccer team was victorious against North Park in a 2-0 victory this week. So congrats to them. And also really excited about covering Carol men's and women's basketball home games here on WAUK radio. So just like with football, you can catch it on the Civic Media app or tune in your radio to 540 AM or 101 FM or go to walkradio.com. So a lot of great opportunities. And I got to meet Coach Lindsay Schultz, the women's coach. They're having a great, she's having a great run here with a second place finish last year. And, it should be near the top of the CCIW this year. A lot of promise. And also got reunited with Coach Taylor Jansen, who was a guest on the show earlier in the year, and some of his staff. So they're looking forward to doing some great things in his new era as the official head coach that was named earlier this year. So, but coming back here with Jeff Horton, we were having a conversation about new urbanism as one of the solutions for making safer communities and really getting people reacquainted. And what have been some of the latest developments in that area?
For us, the biggest one is probably going to be our new comprehensive plan, and then following that up with the zoning ordinance.
The CIP,
right? Well, this is more of a land use plan.
Okay.
And it kind of overlooks, there's a bunch of different things that touches on transportation, housing, economic development, and most specifically land use.
Okay.
What we're looking to do is, given our urban growth kind of boundary now, and the fact that we're more in a redevelopment mode, really trying to weave these new urban principles into new regulations.
Sure.
So really trying to stress the, building more compact, building more dense, building up instead of out. So lots of different things that can also grow your tax base while also creating kind of a more of an urban, like, or a new urban space.
Okay.
So that's kind of one of the thing we're working on. We're also looking at integrating more housing into existing commercial areas. We have these areas with retail sort of, I wouldn't say it's declining, it's different, it's changing.
Sure.
So you don't need these giant parking lots anymore.
Right.
And so we're looking at allowing residential to kind of come in there and then making sure that there's pedestrian amenities. So you're kind of almost, there's a lot of places, especially down in Texas, there's a guy down there who does a lot of work in this field. He'll buy an old aging either like strip mall or shopping center, and then he'll start adding housing to it. And then he'll start getting rid of some of the older commercial that's not really working anymore. Sure. And really the idea is to kind of build up community. You're now creating additional tax base, but also providing customers for the business.
Right.
And then getting rid of some of the obsolete buildings and parking areas.
Yeah.
Jeff, this is producer Anya. I have a city planning question for you, if that's okay.
Sure. Thanks, Anya. Go ahead.
I just got back from Texas, actually. And even before you said Texas, I was just thinking when we were there, we noticed the footprint of all these buildings and their parking lots. It was so huge. And then the inside of the building, it was like they had no creativity. Jeff, do you ever find that having to work inside of a smaller foot space or not having infinite land, do you ever find that that helps creativity, or does it always squander it more? I'm just wondering.
That's a great question.
No, I think having less actually makes it more creative. You always hear people talking about, even like people writing a TV show, they try to write themselves into put themselves into a box and try to get out where, so it makes more challenging. But if you look at our downtown businesses, there's limited space. If you buy a tenant space there, you can't expand out.
Yeah.
So you'll see them do creative things. You look at People's Park where, we can't really expand out, but really popular. So they expanded up and then they expanded up again. Now they have a rooftop.
Place.
Yeah, they have a rooftop thing. You're not going to really see a rooftop out in a strip mall. You're going to see it in a place downtown where really necessity is where, what's happened. Also even
necessity is a mother of invention.
So I think, having some limits does help with creativity because you have to be creative. And, otherwise it's not going to work.
And it's part and parcel with, or it aligns with this living small movement too, which is real big. I have a realtor friend out of Madison who's a big champion for that. And you can really do a lot with smaller spaces these days, whether it's in a downtown area or a rural area or a suburban area.
Yeah, definitely. If you look at some of the newer developments, redevelopment things that Habitat's doing, they're going back to traditional size lots, traditional size homes, like what you'd have maybe seen in the 20s, and kind of building, their latest development, which is a redevelopment site. They're taking 16 lots and building, what would be like homes that look like they were built, in the 20s and 30s, which is what the neighborhood is.
Yeah. There, so. Yep. Traditional neighborhoods. Yep. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about traditional neighborhoods, the issue of affordable housing that's affecting everybody, including workforce housing, and other exciting things going on here with Jeff Fortin of the Community Development of the City of Waukesha. So much more to talk about when we come back. So don't go away, including some exciting announcements of things going on today.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israeli bombing continues in Gaza, but some of its communications infrastructure is back online. Here's the BBC's Anna Foster.
In Gaza, phone lines and internet connections are slowly returning to normal. Palestinian sources say they were cut off by the Israelis starting on Friday night when this bombardment intensified.
The search for people under demolished buildings continues as well. The Hamas-run health agency says the death toll there is more than 8,000. Israeli officials say more than 1,400 people have been killed in attacks there. Actor Matthew Perry has died. He's most remembered for portraying Chandler Bing on the TV series Friends, Syracuse University's Robert Thompson.
Matthew Perry starred in one of the few shows that just about everybody has had an experience with.
Matthew Perry was 54. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
My favorite bands from 80s, 90s, Midnight Oil with Forgotten Years. And very timely what's going on in the world today about Forgotten Years. We saw that books are being banned by the school district in Menominee Falls. We've seen some other things nationally that we're not really pleased of. It's just really good time at the local level to really become more involved. Connect with your local legislators, with other leaders in the community, with other groups. get to know people like Jeff Fortin here with the city of Waukesha. That's a great resource on community development, and connect with our university partners here at Carroll. There's so many great programs. You don't have to be a student to really benefit from all the great things that Carroll has to offer this university city. And just be informed too. And, connect with local radio like ours, local news. I was promoting this show here with Jeff, and I got a message on Facebook from, I guess you could call him a fellow alumnus, Tim Nekich, who was an alderman here in Waukesha during the 80s and the 90s, and still very active with the city. I think he's a chief election inspector still, and very big, a Vietnam War veteran too. So he'll be my guest on November 11th, which I'll be doing remotely from St. Louis, and Tim will be here in the studio with Anya. So really, but he's another great, you know, he's someone, he moved here in 79 and he loves Waukesha. He's all about Waukesha, lives near downtown. And I'm just really glad I had the pleasure to meet him and to learn more about him and the things he does with our city. And while we were having coffee, city attorney Brian Running came and he started talking to us. And I've been trying to get Brian on the show on a couple occasions. He's like, no, you don't want me. And but he finally approached me and said, you know what, if you need a guest, I'd like to be on the show. And so we're going to look at getting our city attorney on sometime in December and January when the schedule frees up. And a lot going on. Next week, we're going to have Plowshares on the show promoting their virtual fundraiser on that takes place on November 11th, actually. But it'll be a documentary around water and responsible water. So we're really excited to have those guests on. I'll tell you more about that later in the show. And then, of course, Tim Nekich on Veterans Day, November 11th. November 18th is Chief Thompson. So really excited to finally have Daniel Thompson on the show. Our fine chief of police, who I had the honor of or pleasure of getting to know really well when I was alderman. So, but returning to this conversation with Jeff, I made kind of a faux pas, and my apologies, Anya. Usually when I do the Carroll Minute, I ask my guests what the relationship with Carroll and their entity has been, what has meant for them. And so I wanted to ask Jeff what Carroll's relationship with Waukesha's Community Development Department has been like, and what are some of the positives in that relationship?
I think one of the biggest things with Carroll is that they're part of a historic district. They have all these landmark buildings, and they've been very good probably over the last 15 years of really trying to fix these buildings up to make sure they stand the test of time, rehabbing old homes in the neighborhood and repurposing them for university uses. So really making that campus like a showcase. You go anywhere on campus, it looks very nice. And they've spent millions of dollars upgrading these buildings, sure, preserving part of Waukesha's history. You know, some of these buildings, you know, predate the city. So that's been good. Also with our downtown, we run the Downtown Waukesha website, Facebook page, Instagram. So we do a lot of marketing. Typically you'd have a business improvement district doing that, but since we don't, the city has kind of taken over that role. And really we've worked a lot with Carroll on promoting their events.
Great.
They share our events. And then also placemaking. We've been working a lot on downtown in these neighborhoods, and you see the banners throughout our downtown, the different downtown areas. Well, we extended that to Carroll a couple of years ago when they were doing their 175th and we were doing our 125th birthdays. We kind of co-branded these temporary banners to kind of, you know, commemorate the event, but also really identify Carroll as kind of part of our downtown neighborhood.
Great.
And then turned into having permanent banners. So if you go through Carroll, we have got these co-branded banners where we have that. We call it the University District, and then they have their banner on the other side. So it was a really great project.
We
co-funded it together. So really doing a lot to kind of help. And their students go downtown a lot. So it's really nice to have that body that goes and supports our businesses.
So do you, in the future, you think there'll be other co-branded opportunities, like maybe on our signage? It says like City of Waukesha. You know, I know currently there's one that says Home of Les Paul, and that's obviously great and important. But also, you know, home of Carroll University, Wisconsin's oldest college.
Yeah, I think we're looking for opportunities. You know, we did a study with UW-Milwaukee on the St. Paul corridor, really trying to, that corridor that basically runs from Barstow all the way down to, to where like Waukesha Engine is down there. Mm. And really the students did a great job really come up with an idea for that plan. And that's probably the next area that we may try to do some branding. The students had some ideas. They had a lot of neighborhood input. So that might be another branding opportunity there. And maybe around the hospital might be another one too. Anything that's kind of near downtown is probably a good candidate for that type of work.
That sounds great. So, speaking of candidates, too, very, very proud to welcome into the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, James Santel, always on time in fulfillment of his service here to the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, but also here in another capacity as the host of Morning Cannolis that'll come on after my show from 9 to 11. So be sure to pay attention to check the latest legal developments going on nationally as well as locally, and especially with everything going on. I definitely encourage you to pay attention to Jim's show. So, but returning here to Waukesha and Carol, and that could Carol potentially also be a partner in addressing this problem that's not just here in Waukesha but nationally of affordable workforce housing? And I want to different. There's affordable housing for lower income families, and that's important. But housing for working Americans, for first responders, teachers.
Yeah, I think that's something that all universities should probably start looking at. So that maybe things they want in their business school to kind of figure out models where you can finding ways really to lower the cost of housing, developing sure. housing. And so I think, yeah, there definitely could be a role there, or if they end up having, you know, they're in the center of our city. So if they have excess land that's not being used, maybe partnering with the city on finding ways to reutilize that, some of that property. But I think, yeah, it's a huge problem. And I think, you know, if you can start getting younger people with new ideas to think about that problem, I think we might come up with some creative solutions that maybe people haven't even thought of yet.
Sure, sure. Hey, before I forget too, today, Saturday, October 28th, is also Drug Take Back Day. Bring your unused or unwanted medications to the Waukesha Police Department for proper disposal in their drug collection box. The goal of this program is to make sure that medications do not end up in the wrong hands and do not end up in our water supply, or especially our new water supply. So be on the lookout for that. Also going on today, a real can't miss, and I hope that Johnny and I can make it back from Kenosha in time, is at 7 p.m., our beloved Waukesha Fusion. That's the combined North-South men's volleyball team that's captured the heart of a community with second great season in a row. This year, they've captured a share of the Classic Eight, no doubt the toughest volleyball conference in the state, men's volleyball. And they are playing Catholic Memorial, who is the co-champions of the Classic Eight, tonight at 7 at Waukesha West. This is the sectional final. Winner goes to state. So no matter what, congratulations to both Waukesha teams, and especially to our Waukesha Fusion and Coach Joe Bansky. And Joe was a guest here earlier in the summer. And if I could, I'd have him on just about every other week, because he is a really great source of inspiration and knowledge, and very passionate about his sport and about the kids that he coaches. So best of luck to them. And if you can make it tonight, you know, a great thing you can do that's cost effective. And volleyball is a really exciting spectator sport. I don't know if you've been to many matches, Jeff, or seen them.
I've got a lot of friends who've got kids in volleyball, so I've seen, you know, matches, watching on TV. I haven't been in person, so might be something to check out. But I know my son loves going to watch his classmates play volleyball. So it does seem like it's a very exciting and very growing sport. So.
Sure, sure. Sounds good. So what is going on like this weekend or this week that in Waukesha that you want to draw people's attention to that the city's involved in?
I guess really this week it's wrapping up the farmer's market.
That's right. Today's the last day of the farmer's market. Thanks for reminding me, Jeff.
Downtown Trick or Treat is, I believe, also today.
Downtown Trick or Treat. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It's this afternoon. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. I don't know the times, but it's downtown businesses. They'll have a little thing in their window that says they're participating. Kids can go around and get kind of trick-or-treating downtown. They can see all the scarecrows the businesses have put up on the light poles. So, you know, it's kind of that shift from, you know, the summer season into fall. So those are some of the bigger things happening community-wise.
Yeah. Milwaukee Zoo does that every year, too. It's like usually like the Saturday before Halloween. I think it's great. So it's neat that we're doing that in Waukesha. And then, of course, Halloween is this Tuesday night. I know in the city newsletter it said Monday, October 31st, but it's Tuesday, October 31st, and it is Tuesday. It is Halloween day like it is every year. So looking forward to celebrating that. That's always a lot of fun in our community. So yeah. Any big plans for Halloween yourself, Jeff, or this weekend?
No, probably just being at home handing out candy. That's it.
That sounds great.
Yeah, there's a group of neighborhood kids that goes around every year since they've been, I don't know, since they were like 4 or 5 years old, have been going around together, and now
sure, sure.
seventh graders, they're still get together. They look forward to getting together every Halloween. It's kind of like a neighborhood event. So.
Oh, good, good. So, hey, speaking of events, you know, with Veterans Day coming up, some of the commemorations are happening sooner. Next Saturday, November 4th, we have Operation Honor. It's a salute to veterans presented by the INEO Waukesha gas engines. The event will take place at the Schutze Recreation Center at 1120 Baxter Street starting at 4:30 p.m. It includes a program, concert, and free dinner. And from 2 to 4 p.m., you can also drop off care items at the Schutze Recreation Center. They'll be donated to veterans receiving inpatient services, at the Clement J. Zablocki VA Hospital, Milwaukee. Cards or notes of encouragement or thanks will also be accepted. And that is very much true, that last part, just letting a veteran know that you're very grateful for the services that he or she has made. And I know Alderman Mike Rosino was my guest a few weeks back, and he also promoted this event next Saturday. So be sure to check that out. And I apologize, you know, I'm embarrassed as a former alderman. I haven't really been paying attention to what's been going on in the city. But one thing I do know that we have done a good job of honoring our veterans here in Waukesha. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Yes, definitely. Some of the city, you know, with Veterans Park and different events that we have every year.
Sure. And does, even though it's on the Saturday, would the mayor, they'll do like a, there's usually a commemorative service at the Veterans Memorial here in downtown. Well, that should take place again on Saturday the 11th, correct?
I would have to check.
Honestly. Sure. Yeah. Sure. So, terrific. So, but some other issues I wanted to cover, though, too, was with economic development. I saw that the state of, or this region, I guess, of Wisconsin was selected as part of a federal initiative to enhance the technology economy here, if that's the right term. Have you been paying attention to that, or does the city have opportunities to cash in on that?
I guess, anything that's going to happen in the region, the city should be looking at ways to take advantage of it. And again, with some of our redevelopment opportunities, it might be a good, definitely something the city should be keeping an eye on. It's finding out how we can be a strong participant in that.
Sure. Yeah, because I know something that even like the greater Milwaukee area has been serious about is that there's still this unfortunate reputation of being a rust belt, when really it's become more of a brain belt. There's a lot of great technology startups and innovation centers and hubs and businesses. And, you know, is there any way, especially again, this being a university city, that we're exploring opportunities to develop more technology businesses here and jobs?
Yeah, I think starting with the university is probably the best approach. I mean, they should maybe start, looking at what programs they have and what the future needs are. And I'm sure they're probably doing this, but both, Carroll and University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee at Waukesha, identifying kind of these current trends and what direction we're going and really trying to tailor programs and recruit students into those programs.
Sounds great. And then what have I missed? Like, what are some other areas for economic development that the city's looking at where we can encourage?
Yeah, I think for us, housing and economic development are tied together. You want your workforce to be able to live here and have places to live. And so we've really been doing a lot of housing stuff because it is tied to economic development. So we've got a lot of programs. We're really trying to look at these sites throughout the city. We have these kind of, they're not...
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. my way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
WAUK 1.1 FM.
Hey, welcome back. This week in Waukesha, I'm your host, Don Brown, with Jeff Wharton. And James Centel has honored us again with a morning cannoli prior to his morning cannoli show. And so I'm holding this up in the live stream. And again, one of the great honors of being on the show is that sometimes you are graced with these morning cannolis that oftentimes come from Glorioso's on Brady Street. So special thanks. And Jim nods, yes, that it does come from Glorioso's. So special treat. You know, with all the promotion that Jim and I are doing for Gloriosa's, we should get them to put a little bakery here in downtown. What do you say, Jeff? Anything you can do to exert your muscle on that?
We got lots of programs to help them get here. So
sounds great. So, hey, speaking of programs, too, again, my guests next week represent Plowshare Fair Trade Marketplace. Volunteers contribute hundreds of hours to that. Plowshare will honor Mark Blackman as the 2023 Sally Jo Michalko Volunteer of the Year Award. Mark has served Plowshare for over a decade on the Plowshare Board of Directors, the Education for Peace Committee, and the Technology Committee. So Mark has shared his skills of videography for many of our events. And so, yeah, we're going to learn more about that next week, as well as the documentary they're promoting here. And let me just find it here in my notes, if I can. Let's see. So I apologize for my lack of organization here. But yeah, we're going to talk about that, the virtual fundraiser they're doing. And, oh, here it is. It's called the fundraiser will feature the documentary Our Water, Our Responsibility. It's a Plowshare takes a deep dive into issues surrounding water resources in Waukesha, examining challenges and solutions related to water, this most precious resource of ours. Plowshare's fall fundraising documentary will premiere starting at Saturday, November 11th at 8 a.m. at the Plowshare website, Plowshare FT, M as in Mike, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, M as in Mike.org. So really excited about having them on the show next week and supporting this fundraiser they're doing on the 11th. So have you done much shopping at Plowshare, Jeff?
Yeah, we go there quite a bit. It's one of our, if we're shopping downtown, it's great because they've always got, it's always something different there. It's a great cause, but they just have such cool stuff. You're not going to find, you're not going to find it anywhere. It's right. Just all unique. They've got just different, interesting foods from around the world, different craft things. So yeah, it's a great store.
It's neat. They're in a prime location on Main Street there, you know, in that what you'd call the high rent section. So that it's been there for quite a few years.
Yeah. I know this might be what their second or third location downtown. They've moved around a lot, but okay. It seems like they've been permanent in this place for quite a bit. And it's just it's a great store and with a great mission.
So during the break, we were talking about some events that the city's getting involved in, and there was something you mentioned about an alley that sounded interesting.
Oh, so Friedman Alley, which is an alley that kind of connects the Riverfront Street to downtown. It kind of runs into the Five Point. It's that little alley that's next to Waukesha Evolution, I believe, is the bar that's there now.
Yeah.
And a couple years ago, when we redid Barstow and Riverfront Street, we put new lighting in there to kind of make it feel safer, redid the pavement. We're trying to brighten it up, make it safe. If you walk through there shortly, you're going to notice, and maybe the summer you might notice, there's projecting lights. So they're mounted on the building. And we did it last year for the Walk of Lights. And it's little snowflakes and different designs. And then this summer we had different logos for different city events, like Friday Night Live, Tribute Tuesdays. So it's really kind of, we started doing this thing, these little activation, we call it, to try to make the alley feel more safe and welcoming. Right. People don't really want to walk down a dark alley.
Right.
And then we also are working with a consulting firm to come up with, a plan. We've got a lot of downtown stakeholders to really, we're calling it Activate the Alley, come up with some you know, maybe some public art, some more lighting, decorations, things to just make the alley a place where people want to be, which then again, like we talked about earlier in the show, right, eyes on the street, making it a safer place.
Sure.
And also by doing that, it makes you eligible for this. Every once in a while, these grants come out from the state, like these placemaking grants. And they came out 2 years ago, and we didn't really have a ready-to-go, shovel-ready project. But our goal here is to have something that's ready to go if more funding becomes available. Yeah. And it's just been kind of a cool project. And in Milwaukee, they did it on the east side with what's called Black Cat Alley, and there's a bunch of rotating art in there.
Nice.
And it's really become an attraction, and that's our goal here, is to kind of make an attraction, another thing downtown. We got a lot of stuff downtown that people want to see, just adding to that.
Sure. One thing that impressed me as alderman was my time in the council is how the city did a good job of utilizing the artistic resources we had. They're like the logo was designed by a local artist, the new city logo, which I like a lot, and you see it everywhere, as well as these other art programs. And I have to mention, since Anya is our resident film expert, do we
expert first... might be a strong word, but go ahead.
Expert in training.
Sure, sure.
But do you foresee a possible Waukesha Film Festival?
It could be something. That sounds like a cool idea. I mean, you got some nice venues for it with Carol and the Civic Theater with their remodels. So
that's right.
It could be a neat thing.
And there's lots of locations here for making films, I would say, from driving around. So that could be something too.
Yeah, every once in a while, you'll see somebody filming some, short hair or something. Yeah, because it's really scenic. There's a lot of, in the downtown, you have the river. So, definitely be a cool thing. Yeah, anything we can do to get more, more artists involved, too, in anything we're doing in the city is great.
Yeah, like when you have lunch on the second floor, especially lunch during the daytime at People's Park, and you look out the window and you see all that architecture, it takes you back to another time. And so it's like, it seems like you'd have a natural set if you were to do, like, a period-era movie. All you'd have to maybe is make the inside look more Victorian, if you will, or timely. But then you look out the window and it's all just sitting there. It's beautiful.
Yep. You just CGI to get rid of anything that doesn't look beautiful right now.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. So now what, when I first started working with you, it was, I think you were supporting the Community Development Block Grant Committee in terms of deciding where those federal funds go. And are you still involved in that? And there's other committees that you oversee or support?
Yeah, so Community Development Block Grant is done out of our office. Robin Grams, who is one of our associate planners, is kind of running that program now, but we're still very involved in it. And we do a lot of great things with that. I mean, we're using it for public infrastructure improvements to make our sidewalks more ADA compliant.
We're using it
for downtown facade grant. We have the Landmarks Paint Repair Grant, so if you have a historic home, you can tap into grant funds through CDBG to help fix up your historic home, because it's always a little more costly when you're trying to keep it historically accurate. So
sounds great. Well, Jeff, we're running out of time. Is there any final comments for the people watching on what they should know and how they should participate in this wonderful city of ours?
Yeah, I think I would encourage people. The city is now in our second class of the it's basically local government class that teaches people all the aspects. It's a government academy, and we've had really great success with that. It really gets you to know the city. You go through budgeting, you do police ride-alongs, you learn about every department. Each department will make a presentation. So it really gets people involved. We've got one of our new aldermen had gone through that program. So it's a neat program, and it really gets people involved. It's a good way to get, we want people to be involved in government. So, even if it's not even if it's not running for office, put your name in the hat to be on a board or a commission. We're always looking for people for all these boards and commissions.
Great. Jeff Wharton, City Waukesha, thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget, Johnny and I will be back at 12:30 with Anya for the Pioneers game at Carthage. Kickoff at 1, pregame at 12:30. Remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and so is good mental wellness. And enjoy this beautiful October fall day. And see ya!
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we have represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Milwaukee attorneys. 111 East Kilbourne Avenue, Suite 1650, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53202.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste.